Thanks very much, Lance. It's wonderful to be here in person to discuss real-time payments with such an outstanding audience of industry experts. Lance took us back to 2009, but I'm going to start us 10 years ago when the Reserve Bank conducted a strategic review of innovation in the payment system. Our aim was to foster cooperative innovation to improve the safety, efficiency, and competitiveness of our payment system. The conclusions of that review set out some strategic objectives for the payment system of the future. The ability to make real-time retail payments. The ability to make and receive payments outside normal banking hours. The ability to send more complete remittance information with payments. And the ability to address payments in a simple way. This set the stage for the development of the NPP, involving participants from across the payments industry and the Reserve Bank. Today, I'm going to highlight what's been achieved in delivering real-time payments in Australia, along with the work that still needs to be done. And I'll also raise some issues for us to consider as we look to the horizon. The NPP we see today has largely met those strategic objectives that the Reserve Bank set back in 2012. Most consumers and businesses can make and receive real-time payments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. These payments can carry more detailed remittance information, and they can be addressed more conveniently using a pay ID, such as a mobile number, email address, or ABN. This has represented a significant improvement on the existing direct entry system, where it can take hours or even days for payments to be processed, where the payment information is limited to just 18 characters, and where the payer has to know the BSB and account number of the recipient. Since its launch in 2018, the NPP has expanded significantly. Over the past year, the NPP has processed more than a billion transactions worth more than $1 trillion. The share of account-to-account credit transfers made via the NPP has increased to around 30%, including most of the pay-anyone transactions that go through online banking. The rate of adoption of the NPP also compares favourably with other jurisdictions that have launched fast payment systems. On this graph, you can see the usage of the NPP per person in Australia at the four-year point after it was launched. And you can see that it's right up there with the equivalent systems that have been launched in Asia and in Europe. There are currently 107 financial institutions offering NPP payment services for almost 90 million customer accounts. While most of these financial institutions are banks, there are also some non-banks that are using the NPP to offer their customers faster payments and innovative services. The Australian government is also a significant user of the NPP. More than $12 billion worth of payments for COVID-related support and disaster relief were processed via the NPP in the second half of last year. The NPP has enabled the government to provide support to households affected by bushfires and floods in real time, including on weekends. So we can all here be very proud of the substantial progress that's been made on delivering real-time payments in Australia. However, there is more work to be done to realise the full potential of the NPP. Here's the list of areas that I'd like to focus on today. They are firstly to deliver the additional functionality in the NPP roadmap, to encourage greater use of pay IDs, and to improve the reliability of NPP services for end users. In 2019, the Reserve Bank conducted a public review on NPP functionality and access with the assistance of the ACCC. In that review, we recommended that NPPA publish a regular roadmap of the additional functionality that it's agreed to develop. We also recommended that the NPPA board have the power to mandate that this agreed core capability be supported by participants within a specified period. On the current NPP roadmap, there are two new business services that have the potential to deliver substantial benefits for end users. The first of these is Pay2. It will provide a convenient and secure way for households and businesses to authorise third parties to initiate NPP payments from their accounts. It will modernise the direct debit system by giving customers more control. Pay2 will also be a way for financial institutions to provide the payment initiation functionality that's envisaged under the consumer data right. Pay2 will open up new opportunities for innovation and has the potential to provide significant benefits for end users. The industry had committed to launching Pay2 in July this year, and the Reserve Bank's expectation had been that this commitment would be met. Unfortunately, several of the major banks have recently indicated that they will not be able to meet this timeline. We recognise the considerable effort and investment required to develop Pay2 and the challenge of delivering multiple payment initiatives concurrently. Nevertheless, these delays will significantly limit the availability of Pay2 and the realisation of the benefits for end users. Given this, the Governor has written to the CEOs of the relevant banks, seeking their assurance that they'll be ready to launch Pay2 no later than April 2023. To realise the full potential of Pay2, we expect the banks to make this service available for their entire customer base. The second major initiative on the NPP roadmap is the International Payments Business Service. This will enable the Australian dollar leg of inbound cross-border payments to be processed by the NPP. In particular, additional data about the sender will be provided with the payment, which will make it easier for payment service providers to meet their compliance obligations relating to financial crime. This service will result in safer and faster cross-border payments. And the Reserve Bank expects the industry to remain committed to delivering the International Payments Business Service in 2023. The second area to focus on is the opportunity for industry to more actively encourage its customers to sign up for and use PayIDs. They're a convenient and safe way of addressing payments. One of the key benefits is that payers receive confirmation of the name of the person or business that's being paid before the payment is initiated. This reduces the chance that the payment will be mistakenly sent to the wrong account. It can also help guard against some types of scams, such as where a person is deceived into sending a payment to a scammer's account rather than to the account of the intended recipient. There are currently around 10 million registered PayIDs, yet only 16% of OSCO payments are being addressed using a PayID. So the RBA would like the industry to do more to promote the use of PayIDs by their customers, especially by businesses. The third area to address is the reliability of NPP services provided by financial institutions. In the second half of last year, 3/4 of payment service providers reported unplanned outages affecting their NPP services. And many of these service providers reported multiple outages. This graph shows the average accumulated unplanned downtime for NPP service providers, that this was almost 7 hours in the second half of last year. This is considerably higher than for other 24/7 services, such as card payments, where the average accumulated downtime over that period was only around 2 hours. And a substantial amount of the NPP provider outage time was during the day, when consumer service demand is highest. We think this indicates that some participants need to do a better job of delivering reliable NPP services to their customers. The Payment System Board is closely monitoring the NPP provider reliability data because we think this will only become more important as the usage of the NPP grows. There are also some issues related to the NPP that we should all keep in mind as we plan for the future. Starting with payment system access arrangements. Access to the NPP for payment service providers continues to be a focus area for the Reserve Bank. Access requirements are an important way for operators to manage risks to payment systems and their participants. At the same time, these access requirements should be open and fair to support participation by payment service providers from across the ecosystem. This is how we can best support innovation and competition in the payment system. In its 2019 review, the Reserve Bank made some recommendations to support access to the NPP for a broad range of payment service providers. In response to these recommendations, the NPPA lowered the capital contribution required for ADIs to become direct participants. And the governance process for approving applications for new participants was made more transparent and independent. However, non-ADIs are still not able to join the NPP directly to clear payments. Instead, they can participate in the NPP indirectly or as connected institutions if they just want to initiate payments. While this suits some non-ADIs to use the NPP in this way, others would like to be able to participate more fully. As part of the Australian Government's payment system reforms, the Reserve Bank has started work on common access requirements that could support access to payment systems, including the NPP. The intention is that these requirements could be incorporated into the new licensing framework for payment service providers that the government has agreed to develop. The Reserve Bank supports this new licensing framework as it should be able to reduce barriers to entry and support competition and innovation in the payment system. And we're currently engaging with payment system operators as part of this process. If the access requirements can be streamlined and standardised and made more transparent, this should be able to make it easier for new entrants to access the access payment systems, including the NPP. Another key issue is planning for the wind down and eventual closure of the direct entry system. We expect that account-to-account credit transfers will continue to migrate from DE to NPP. And for payments processed in bulk across DE, such as payroll, institutions are currently working on how to send these via the NPP. The introduction of Pay2 should also pave the way for direct debit payments to move to the NPP. Given these developments, we think it is appropriate for the industry to be discussing when the direct entry system may be closed. As part of these discussions, industry will need to consider at least three challenges. The first of these is that not all the accounts that currently send and receive direct entry payments are reachable via the NPP. Pay2 also needs to be available for a broad customer base. So before the direct entry system can close, the reach of the NPP needs to expand to ensure that all accounts remain capable of sending and receiving payments. The second challenge is that the reliability of NPP services for end users needs further attention, as I highlighted earlier. This is particularly important if the NPP is to become the sole retail account-to-account transfer system. If direct entry is closed, the current option of redirecting NPP payments to DE during an NPP outage will no longer exist. The third challenge is that a lot of work is going to be required to bring end users of the direct entry system along on the journey. Many businesses and government agencies have direct entry payments embedded in their payment processing systems. So NPP service providers are going to need to support these users in their transition to more modern processing systems. The recent merger of the NPPA, BPAY and FPOS to form Australian Payments Plus should result in a more unified industry roadmap. This should provide industry with greater clarity when deciding on investments in future capability. As part of this roadmap, we expect AP Plus to be considering how best to support the wind down of the direct entry system. The third issue is that once the additional NPP functionality is delivered, a good question is whether it can become a more effective competitor to other payments methods, such as card payments. In Australia, card payments are the dominant method for in-store and online purchases. This graph highlights the interesting point that Australians make debit card payments more frequently than in any comparable countries. In other countries with fast payment systems, we can see that there are innovations emerging that provide alternatives to card payments. For instance, in Singapore, the customers of some financial institutions can make payments to merchants from their accounts using the fast payment system. They have the option to do this by scanning a QR code using a mobile application provided by the payment service provider. In India, some consumers can pay merchants in store by tapping the smartphones at merchant terminals. But rather than the payment being routed through the debit or credit card stored in the mobile wallet, the payment goes directly from the customer's account via the fast payment system. Once Pay2 is operational, NPP could also support similar innovations in Australia. NPPA has already developed standards for real-time payments using QR codes in person and online. Pay2 should then provide the opportunity for payments to be made to merchants using QR codes. Using Pay2, customers could also authorise merchants to debit their accounts for one-off payments and to provide standing authorisations for recurring payments. All this functionality could enable the NPP to compete with card payments, providing more options for consumers and more competitive pressure on payment costs. The fourth issue is that the NPP has the potential to play a significant role in Australia's commitment to enhancing cross-border payments. The G20 has highlighted that payments made across borders via the banking system are too expensive, slow, and opaque. The NPP's International Payments Business Service should significantly increase the end-to-end speed of payments coming into Australia. Efficiency gains could also be achieved by making sure that the NPP is interoperable with major payment systems in other countries. To support this, the industry should implement any internationally harmonised messaging and data practices in a timely way. Several countries in Southeast Asia are going a step further by linking up their fast payment systems to others in the region. This can remove the need for correspondent banks to intermediate cross-border payments between these jurisdictions, increasing the speed and reducing the cost of these payments. Given these examples, we think it would be worth exploring ways that the NPP could connect to fast payment systems in other countries in the future. The final issue to consider. So far, the NPP has almost entirely been used for low-value payments. But looking ahead, some high-value payments may start to flow across the NPP as well. For example, the introduction of NPP's International Payments Business Service should lead to some cross-border transactions for large businesses migrating to the NPP. We could also see the NPP being used for some after-hours payments in financial markets. For example, In our role as supervisor of systemically important clearing and settlement facilities, the Reserve Bank has recommended that ASX Clear Futures has the capacity to collect margin overnight to manage large price movements in financial markets. Since the Australian high value payment system is closed at that time, the ASX is instead collecting this margin from its participants in US dollars. An alternative that the ASX is exploring is to instead collect this margin in Australian dollars using the NPP. As the NPP grows in importance, it'll naturally be subject to greater oversight. The Reserve Bank oversees systemically important payment systems operating in Australia and assesses their compliance with the relevant international standards, the principles for financial market infrastructures. Given the current level of usage, we don't consider NPP to be systemically important at this stage. However, this may change as the NPP grows, especially if it ends up being used by other financial market infrastructures, such as clearing and settlement facilities. Reflecting the growing importance of NPP to the economy, it's been specified by the Australian government as a critical infrastructure asset. The government's reforms in this area include new obligations to bolster the reliability and security of critical infrastructure assets against cyber threats. The Reserve Bank is working with the government to apply these obligations to the NPPA as the operator of the central NPP infrastructure. In conclusion, the payments industry has made significant progress in delivering real-time payments over the past 10 years. This has been undertaken with a spirit of great cooperation. Nevertheless, there is more work to be done. We expect the industry to implement the NPP roadmap, encourage the use of PayIDs, and improve the reliability of NPP services for end users. The NPP has developed into an important piece of national infrastructure supporting further innovation. I look forward today to hearing about how you are leveraging this infrastructure to enhance the safety, efficiency, and competitiveness of our payment system. Thank you very much.
So Ellis has kindly agreed to receive questions, but I noticed that nobody's sent me any. So I'm going to have to make them up. So Ellis, you talked about disaster payments being made over the NPP, and of course people are becoming more and more dependent on electronic payments. What happened at Lismore when the floods arrived, all of that connectivity sort of disappeared underwater. How do you see the payments industry responding to these sort of disasters when power and communications goes down? Is the RBA thinking around these areas, or are we all going to go back to cash?
Thanks very much, Lance. I agree. The NPP is a wonderful piece of infrastructure for delivering disaster payments into accounts. So that part works very, very well. And the challenge in a situation such as in Lismore is when there is no power, when the infrastructure is knocked out, electronic payments are very, very challenging. I think in this situation, we see an ongoing role for cash. Cash has that capability to be used in these sorts of situations if you can get cash into the area. And we can see some of the banks in the area were able to get together and achieve that outcome. So there's an ongoing role for cash, and I think it reinforces the issues about the reliability of NPP services and electronic services more generally. That is an ongoing challenge that the industry needs to work through. How can we provide services in disaster scenarios when the power's not there, when the infrastructure's knocked out? But I would highlight that the cash system does provide a reliable means of payment in those scenarios.
Right. Yeah, and you talked about the NPP potentially coming into play at point of sale, as we've seen, as you pointed out, in some other jurisdictions. Part of the issue here is the NFC access, and I see overnight the EU has raised objections now to the anti-competitive nature of Apple's NFC quarantine. Do you think if that quarantine was broken and I could embed my MPP credentials into my wallet, that would really overcome a lot of the issues here? Sorry to hit you with all these difficult questions.
No,
nobody sent
excellent
me any
questions, Lance. So yes, I saw that development overnight, and obviously a lot of regulators internationally have been focusing on the issues around big tech companies, including the issues of access to the NFC chip. Obviously, the Europeans have been focusing on that. The ACCC has also been looking into that issue. In our review of retail payments regulation that we released last year, we also looked into the issues around big tech and mobile wallets. And clearly, the case for regulators to be able to take action in this space is growing over time. One of the practical challenges is having legislation in place which gives the regulators the capacity to intervene in these situations. In the case of the Reserve Bank, that's the Payment System Regulation Act. It was passed in 1998, and that was a very different payments ecosystem back then from now. Things like mobile wallets were really on the horizon at best at that time. So it's time for the legislation to be updated so we have more contemporary definitions of payment systems and payment system participants and those supporting payment system participants to give the Reserve Bank and other regulators the capacity to regulate in the public interest and the national interest. In our case, that's to support the safety, efficiency and competitiveness of payment systems. So we'd highlight that case for regulatory reform. The government is taking that up. And in the announcement was made in December last year, there are plans to modernise the Payment System Regulation Act. I'd also note that in our review, we did take some steps, particularly with regard to mobile wallets, to very much encourage the industry, say, to support dual network debit cards in mobile wallets. So we are taking steps in this space, but for further steps to be made in future, it'd be very helpful for the legislation to be modernised.
So I've now had the deluge of questions. The one that's got the most votes is around the pricing differential between direct entry and MPP, and that the fact that that pricing differential is impacting the migration of payments onto the MPP. Is there a plan to address this and encourage migration to MPP-based services at a DE level pricing? It's probably outside the RBA's purview.
Yeah, I think pricing is fundamentally an issue between NPP and its participants. What we would note, of course, is as usage of the NPP grows over time, the per unit price of a transaction would fall. So it'll be interesting to see that progress continue, which could lead to some convergence in that pricing.
And then the next one is April 2023, the date for Pay2 to be mandated, or is it just an expectation?
We really want to see Pay2 up and running across the industry with payers connected no later than April 2023. So that is what the governor has communicated to the major banks that have delayed their Pay2 delivery for payers. And the major banks have responded to the governor and have indicated they are all targeting delivery by no later than April 2023. So we are very much looking to see the industry come together and deliver Pay 2 in fullness in April 2023 so we can really take advantage of the wave of innovation that that could generate.
And what role is the RBA playing in offering different payment options to the Australian market? Is it part of your regime to influence the payment mix, or is that completely over to the competitive market situation? In particular here, the question talks about the fact that we're tied to card payments.
Well, as I highlighted in the speech, we are very keen to see as much competition in the market as possible for retail payments. I highlighted that card payments in Australia are a surprisingly high share of retail payments compared to what's going on in some other jurisdictions. So our mandate is to support the safety, efficiency and competitiveness of the payment system, and clearly having more options in the payments mix will help to support those competitive outcomes, help to lower payment costs for consumers. So we'd be very supportive of a broad payments mix, and clearly the NPP and the innovation that can come through Pay 2 will have a very important role to play in that.
It is part of the lowering of payment costs relating to this next question, the removal of checks from the market, and what role is the RBA playing in making that happen?
Yes, the check system has been in decline for a very long time, and it will make sense at some point in the future for the check system to close in the same way that we're having that discussion around direct entry. But once again, there are some steps that the industry needs to take to get us there. There's still some legislation out there which effectively relies on checks, so we need governments around the country to put through the necessary reforms so it's not a requirement to use checks. We also need the financial industry to support its customers in moving to alternatives from checks. It can be a big transition to move away from paper-based means of payment to electronic means of payment. So we really need to see the industry put a lot of focus on getting their customers to be able to shift from checks to alternatives. It's when you have those sorts of challenges overcome, right, that we can then get to the point of being able to close down the check system.
If I take the example in Ireland, the government there put a tax on checks to encourage people to move. Is there any thought from the regulator that there should be some impost to assist this transition?
Well, one of the things that the government has highlighted in its reform package is it will put in place a strategic plan for the payments ecosystem. These sorts of strategic issues, such as winding down the check system, are the perfect sorts of issues to go into the mix of determining the strategic plan for the payments ecosystem. So I very much encourage everyone in the industry to be thinking about that, to be communicating with the government, so we can all come together on an appropriate way forward. Obviously, it'd be very helpful to be able to coalesce on a path towards closing the check system so we can all coordinate around that.
And finally, I'll come back to Pay 2, and there are lots of people here with Pay 2 T-shirts on, so it's obviously the topic of the day. But the two top questions here are around, is it only the majors that have to deliver on April 23? What's happening to the smaller institutions, and can't we do something to stop the timeline constantly moving?
So the focus on the majors is to support the critical mass that is required for the network effects of Pay 2 to really be able to get up and running. Obviously, we would encourage everyone in the NPP ecosystem to be targeting delivery of Pay 2 as soon as possible, no later than April 2023, so we can really deliver that wave of innovation that could come through a successful delivery of Pay 2.